going on, everybody? It's been a busy NFL offseason so far. We've seen a flurry of player activity. We've had free agency. We've had dudes traded. Some of those make perfect sense, and we absolutely love the new position that these players are going to be in. And some others are, I don't know, kind of seem like some bad decisions. We're going to dive into a bit of each category today. A couple players we like where they landed. Couple players we don't necessarily care for. I know the offseason kind of goes in spurts. You'll have the combine, and then there's a lull and free agency and a lull, and then we got the draft coming up. But while we've got the action going on, we've both been really looking forward to talking about this. How you doing, Kyle?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Talk about a few moves. If you haven't, give us a like and subscribe. We really appreciate it coming to you in the offseason for some fantasy football content. Also tune in because we do fantasy baseball too, every Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Few guys. I know you got a running back in mind. I think a lot of the guys were talking about a running backs today, but I know you have one in mind who went to the Ravens.
Yes, that would be none other than Derrick Henry. Early in draft season, he's coming off the board around pick 55, RB16, which kind of puts him, you know, mid-pack. One of the things that really struck me last year is that the Ravens, despite the change in offensive coordinator to Todd Monken, they still led the league in rush attempts. And I know that was we'll call it a concern for some folks with Derrick Henry going there. It's not a concern for me. He's somebody who's done excellent at staying on the field. He's played in 15 games in four of the past five seasons. As a matter of fact, he led the league in rush attempts last year in his age 29 season with 280. He faced a stack box pretty much constantly Tennessee. He should see some lighter boxes there in that regard. And can you really think of a better pairing for Lamar Jackson on that read option than Derrick Henry? Imagine you're an end standing there, seeing your life flash before your eyes because you think Derrick Henry is going to get the ball. And then you blink and Lamar Jackson's already 8 yards downfield.
Yep.
He's not as efficient as he used to be. His yards per carry was down to 4.2. I think there's a chance, though, to see an increase in that, you know, some increased efficiency with a little bit of a lighter workload. I don't think he's going to be up around that 280, 300 carry zone again. The line does have a big hole to fill if they don't re-sign Kevin Zeitler. He is one of the better guards in the league. But overall, it's still an upgraded line in terms of run blocking. He's going to make a nice thunder and lightning pairing with Keaton Mitchell once he gets back from his ACL tear. And Justice Hill is still there, too, to take over some of the passing down work. He remains an elite goal line option. He's going to be 30 this season, but he showed last year he's still got something left in the tank. And if we look at least role-wise to what Gus Edwards did last year, 198 carries, 810 yards, 13 touchdowns. And while it's hard to predict or project 13 touchdowns for somebody, I think this year Derrick Henry, 250 carries, 1,100 yards, I think 10 touchdowns. I think he's going to be a mid to high end RB2 with RB1 upside any given week.
Yeah, on paper, this, like you mentioned, this seems like the perfect fit, right? They're a run first team, smash mouth approach to the game. And like you mentioned, when Gus Edwards and his 13 touchdowns, it gets you even more excited. He's definitely a short-term buy candidate for a contending team, plain and simple. But I think it is, it's all about the O-line. I totally agree. This is a great fit, great match. The O-line versus the Ravens versus the Titans. In running back yards before contact, Baltimore was first last year. Tennessee, 30th. total difference there. Percent of yards coming after contact, Baltimore was fourth in the league. Tennessee was 32nd. So you can see the quality of line will be much better, even without Zeitler or with, you know, I think they'll still be perfectly fine. It's that consistent usage around the goal line. It's going to bring you fantasy success, I believe. Last season, he was ninth in carries from in the 5 yard line. It was 16 total carries. So that is the third time in the past four seasons he's been in the top 10 among those 5 yard carries.
Yeah, it's a beautiful pairing. It's a nice system for him, getting to play with Lamar, a running quarterback, and just the fact that defenses are going to have to respect the pass a little bit more,
Yeah.
I think is really going to help open up some things for him. And I've been very vocal in the fact that I've not really been a big Derrick Henry guy over the past several seasons, but given his landing spot in Baltimore and just what I think he has left in the tank, I may be a buyer depending on his ADP.
The one I really like this season is Marquise Hollywood Brown. 1 year deal to the Chiefs, ADP of 128, currently the 50th wide receiver off the board on NFFC leagues. I'm reminded of the famous quote by Oscar Wilde, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery." I kind of wonder if Juju Smith-Schuster feels that way, if he thought that way when he heard Hollywood signed with the Chiefs, because I think Brown's basically doing the same thing. You know, go there on a 1 year deal, prove it, have a good year, and turn it into a big payday like Juju did. Of course, it was with the Patriots, but yeah. All right, enough about Juju. Brown, bad season last year. Career lows really across the board. Finished as the wide receiver 45 in CBS PPR leagues. Played the first half without Kyler Murray. It'd be interesting to know or see if he would have had him the whole year, if he would have had a little bit better of a season. He did get hurt in the last month of the season with a heel injury, so he was on the IR for the last three games. I think a fresh start here is just exactly what he needs to revitalize his fantasy career, his asset in that. I think Mahomes gets a reliable downfield playmaker, probably the first one, really the first one since Tyreek Hill. You really can't count MVS. That guy was just basically running wind sprints down the field every snap, and because he can't catch the fucking ball. Speaking of Mahomes, maybe that pairing, if they gel right, could propel him back to QB1 status like he was the years prior. A little bit of a down year last year, but who really cares, right? He won the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, you can't forget about, what impact that might have on Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice. They could see a mild drop, I guess, in meaningful targets. But as you think, Rice and Brown are not the same receiver. You know, Brown's going to be downfield. Rice is going to work underneath, where, like I mentioned, Hollywood's going to stretch those defenders. Brown's ADOT was almost three times as much as Rashee Rice's. So they're working in different areas of the field. So I don't see that as an issue either. Also, I really don't see it with Kelce either. He played less than 80% of snaps for the first time since his second year, which was 2014. And he's going to be age 35 this season. They might limit his snaps even more this year to save him for, the playoffs as well. I really like Marquise there. I think it'll probably start out slow, but I think by, week six, week seven, you'll start seeing that connection with them. He's a solid addition to that offense who is sorely needing receiving help. Totally. NFFC's got him what? Wide receiver 50. Ugh, Jesus. Underdog has him as rated as wide receiver 44. You consider him at least in the beginning of the season, a wide receiver four with three potential.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. He's going to provide that deep option that doesn't have hands like Eric Ebron, that the team has really and the offense has lacked since Tyreek left. And that's the big thing we always go to, right? Is he can get deep, but he also has the ability to run routes on multiple levels. And if you think back to the way that Tyreek Hill was used, there was a lot of screens, a lot of slants designed to get him the ball in stride where he can run after the catch. Now, is this dude Tyreek Hill? No, absolutely not. But he's more the great value version. And I think where you're getting him, you'll absolutely take it. He did show very well with Kyler Murray last year, albeit on a limited basis. And keep in mind, this dude is still the only wide receiver to go over 1,000 yards with Lamar Jackson as his quarterback. He is going to play a complementary role to Rashee Rice. I think you're right. He's a wide receiver four, but I think just given his skill set, he's got wide receiver one upside any given Sunday. if he catches a couple of those deep balls, or he catches a slant and takes it to the house, which is a hallmark there of that Andy Reid offense, it's just, he's going to be boom or bust. And I think he's somebody I would rather have in best ball leagues, where I don't necessarily have to find myself depending on him every week, but that's a damn good landing spot for him. So we've talked enough about the dudes that we like. What about some landing spots we don't like? Big one for me, it's surprise, Saquon Barkley going to Philly. Right now, got an ADP of 20, number 8 running back off the board. And you think, all right, that's pretty reasonable for a dude like that. Sure. But then I was taking a closer look at some of the numbers last year. According to PFF, the Eagles were just 26th in run blocking last season. And you think, well, shit, he was with the Giants. They were just 5 spots better than the Giants. So not all that great. Jason Kelce has retired. Lane Johnson is getting old. He's going to be 34 years old in May, coming into his 11th season in the league. Looking at the rest of the offensive line, neither Dickerson nor Juergens are really particularly good run blockers. One of the hallmarks of Saquon's production has been his receiving out of the backfield. The Eagles don't really do a whole hell of a lot of that. Just a 17% target share last year, spread among 4 backs. DeAndre Swift led the way with just 9%. Yeah. Eagles running backs only saw 93 total targets last year out of 538 attempts from Jalen Hurts. Saquon has averaged 76 targets per year the past 3 years, so something's got to give. Either they're going to start throwing the ball more to running backs, or he's not going to see the volume that he's used to. I think it's going to be the latter. The Eagles is a team. They were top 6 in rush attempts, which is great. You want to see that, but just mid-pack with 4.3 yards per attempt. And with Saquon, we're talking about a dude who's only had 250 or more rush attempts twice in his 6 seasons. One of those was his rookie year. So is he dependable in that regard in terms of consistent volume week over week? That's yet to be seen. I think for him to go much over the 6 rushing touchdowns he had last season, it has to come to at the expense of Jalen Hurts. And I really have a hard time seeing that happen, considering just how they use him, especially around the goal line. And it makes you ask, which is more likely? Hurts stops getting that short goal-to-goal situation usage, which has worked incredibly well over the past few years? Or are the Eagles going to give up a staple of their offense and hand the ball to Saquon in those situations? I have a hard time seeing that. I'm not saying dude's going to be a scrub, right? But as we get closer to draft season, I think you're going to see him start to rise up draft boards as we get to more hype. And I think that where he's going to end up being drafted, I don't think you're going to profit on that. And I think you're going to be hard pressed to even return value. I think at the end of the day, if I want Saquon Barkley, I'm drafting him as a high-end RB2 as opposed to my RB1.
Yeah. I mean, despite playing behind the worse than the Eagles offensive line in the Giants offensive line, he's still ranked 4th among running backs in rushing yards over expectation, according to Next Gen. He still got consistent production with that. I think the floor is still high, going to be high there for him in Philadelphia, just due to the volume and his just overall fucking talent, really. But the ceiling's going to be hampered by, like you mentioned, that the Hurts' rushing ability, not even at the goal line, just all of it. You know, when they need short yardage, they're going to bring out the tush push. I think they'll still try to do it. This is the year it'll get stopped, because Jason Kelce's gone. I think so too. It really had a lot to do with him. I'm not singling out, you know, the offensive line. It's a team sport. I get it. But I really think it had a lot to do with him. I think he's still good. He's just, you know, he's not the guy he once was. Round 2 or 3, depending on the format of your league. Really. Definitely not a first rounder.
No,
I'm on the fence. I like it less. I guess I like it like 70-30. Like, I can see it might work. But for the price, it probably won't. For the free agent signing, I don't really like, and it doesn't really make sense to me, DeAndre Swift to the Bears. Currently being drafted at 88 and RB28 on NFFC. Remember Miles Sanders went to Philly, had a great game and or a great season and signed with Carolina for big money and then absolutely busted. And then you have Swift come in there. He's traded from the Lions. Gets 1,000 yards, only six total touchdowns or six touchdowns, but then signs a big deal with Chicago. I think the Bears are dumb. Why didn't you just pay that money to David Montgomery the year before? Maybe it was age. I'm not sure, but David Montgomery just had a great season in Detroit last year. I think Ryan Poles is an idiot, but I love him for it. Thanks for David Montgomery. And rant. Swift did have a solid season last year. Over 1,000 yards rushing, five scores, and he also had 39 receptions for 200-plus yards and one touchdown through the air. I got him on CBS PPR as the RB18 last year. He averaged about 13 points per game. I mean, he was in Detroit, so obviously we were very high on him for a while. He was one of the most promising yet underperforming running backs across fantasy in recent years. He had some injury-riddled seasons there in Detroit as well, but he showed those flashes of greatness, and we just wanted to keep seeing it, but he really didn't live up to the hype. I suppose in Chicago, he could see, you know, a surge in higher volume, high value touches, I guess, because of the tush push in Philadelphia took that away. But he's going to join this crowded running back room. There's some talent there, Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, who their yards per carry last year were good. Herbert was 4.6 a carry. Johnson was 4.3. They both ran pretty well for the Bears last season, considering the offense was kind of a fucking mess. Where Swift might excel, you know, is in the receiving room, maybe, because Herbert and Johnson, neither of them guys saw over 40 targets last season. So I think that does leave plenty of room for Swift to kind of be involved as a pass catcher. But they're expected to draft Caleb Williams. Justin Field got shipped off for a sixth rounder to Pittsburgh this week. Does his playmaking ability, Caleb Williams' playmaking ability in the pocket, maybe not favor targets for running backs or Swift? It's something I kind of been thinking about, and we've touched on it with Caleb Williams a bit, where we're kind of unsure about him. Usually you see rookie QBs, running backs are kind of a fail safe, where they can go to them. I just don't see it with the way Caleb Williams kind of plays ball. Another point is Shane Waldron in his three seasons. He is the new OC in Chicago. In his three seasons as the play caller there in Seattle, the team averaged a very low 14.49 running back target rate. So in other words, his targets might not bounce back like we expect them to, like they were in Detroit. Not so much last year, of course, in Philly. And what are the Bears going to do? Did they get Swift because they didn't really believe in maybe not Khalil Herbert so much, but Roschon Johnson, because I believe they drafted him to be more of a pass catching back. But are they going to do the RBBC, the running back by committee approach? And they've obviously seriously upgraded from somebody like Deontay Foreman to DeAndre Swift. I'm interested to see how that goes this season. I think, yeah, if he does get more touches in the pass game, Swift, that'll probably cut into Roschon's snaps more, like I mentioned. Now, the peripherals that Swift really can't control. The efficiency with the Bears offensive line is not as strong with the Eagles nor the Lions when Swift was there. I mean, the guy's quick. He's shifty. He can make guys miss in a phone booth, or at least he could a few years ago when he was just a little bit, and he's not even that old, but just a few years younger. He rarely seeks out, and you know this, Matt, he rarely seeks out contact or running through contact, and he really doesn't have the best eyes for developing holes between the tackles. So if the Bears offense continues to struggle similar to what it was last year, obviously we're kind of comparing apples to oranges, new OC, the new quarterback, all that. I think its fantasy value could really take a hit. And yeah, the incompetent coaching staff. I'm looking at you, Matt Eberflus. You did a lot of things last year that I didn't understand, but I didn't care because I wanted you to keep losing because I'm a Lions fan. Having said that, Swift, I think, is still an RB2 with passing catching upside. Definitely more valuable in PPR formats, but depending on his health, if he has those issues again like he did in his earlier years, and how the Bears use him, we'll see. He's currently, like I said, the 28th off the board. The best news for him, I think he's very valuable in Dynasty. He's only 25 years old. So I don't like it, but there's some things. It's very unsure on what is going to happen in Chicago this year in respect to an offense.
Yeah, the big thing for me, like, look, I think this is a very good signing by them. I'm going to go ahead and disrespectfully disagree with you. I don't know what the hell you're thinking. You know, the last point you brought up, he's just 25 years old. Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, they were fine last year, right? I don't think there was any reason for anyone to get excited about their performance. And I think that's why they signed DeAndre Swift. And I think that neither one of those two backs are going to be able to take the lead role from him. And right now that's just based on me following the money, right?
Sure.
The Bears line is not as good as Philly's line was last year, but they were still one of the better run blocking teams, and they kind of improved as the season went on. They still have plenty of cap room to address any deficiencies along the line. And remember, they've got the number one overall pick, but they've also got another pick. I think it's at 8 or 9. They've got two of the top 10 picks where they can draft another impact player. It's obvious the team is really looking to build around Caleb Williams, a projected number one overall pick, and give him plenty of resources and the opportunity to succeed. And I like the addition of Keenan Allen. I think this is going to do more to help apply pressure on the defense. And so you're not going to see a whole lot of stacked boxes, because you talked about how DeAndre Swift, not the greatest between the tackles, not somebody who goes out and seeks contact. And he's a much different running back and archetype than Deontay Foreman, who kind of had the lead role there last year, who's like a poor man's Derrick Henry or kind of on par with Gus Edwards. So the offense is going to look a little bit different. I think it's going to look more dynamic. I think you're going to see a pass first offense, and I think they're going to be smart enough to take advantage of Swift's ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He spent a lot of the season as a top five running back. And while I don't necessarily think we're going to see a repeat performance of that, I think where he's going now is an incredible value, because I think by the time the season is done, he's going to come in somewhere between that like running back 13 to 18 range, which is a 10 spot difference drafting right now. I don't think he's going to be a monster. I think he has shown over the years that he can have a few monster games. The thing with him is just that week over week consistency. But if they can find a way to get him a consistent 18 touches with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen there, they've got Cole Kmet. So there's going to be plenty of the field that's going to be occupied along with Caleb Williams' ability to run. And look, when you get in trouble, who are you looking for? You're looking for your tight end. You're looking for the running back who's over there, off to the side or maybe doing a quick in across the middle. He's got good hands. If you can get him the ball while he's moving, get him the ball in space. He's somebody that can do something with the ball after the catch.
This is what I think of your analysis.
Thanks. That tells me I'm spot on.
Good stuff.
You know, you look at the dudes that we've talked about today. There's some upside, there's some downside with every signing. Anytime you get a new player in a new situation, in a new offense, learning a new scheme and having to get timing down, not only with the quarterback, in Hollywood Brown's case, but also with the offensive line, because you've got, outside zone, you've got one cut and go, you've got, all these different offensive philosophies. And I think that's what makes the NFL just so much fun, is just the little intricacies team by team and player by player. It's going to make things fun to watch and make us look forward to fantasy draft season that much more.
It is for sure. And with the, you know, a lot of early projections on this, a lot of thoughts. The NFL draft hasn't even happened yet. So a lot of things will start to become more clear for us in the future. I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. And very excited for fantasy football in 2024.
You and me both. That's going to wrap it for today. Appreciate you stopping by to watch. If you haven't already, give us a like and subscribe. We are live every Tuesday and Thursday night during this time of year. We're talking fantasy baseball, but as we mentioned before we made the switch, we're not going to leave you fantasy footballers behind. I imagine we'll be back closer to draft time with some more content for you. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.